Sharing in food can be a sacred and spiritual thing. I probably don't need to tell you that. We're Methodists. We know that. We know that sharing in food is a sacred and a spiritual thing. We also know that sharing food is a friendly thing, is a way in which a community is brought together, is a way in which we get to know friends. We know that sharing in food can be a romantic thing. I mean, how many first dates involve a meal of some sort, lunch or coffee or dinner? How many times when we're trying to get to know someone who's new in town or when we're new in town, do we invite them over to our house to share a meal or go out to have lunch together? We recognize the power of having a meal together, and we recognize that it is a beautiful and a sacred thing. And I've been blessed a few times in my life to be part of a community, a church kind of community, that regularly shared a meal together. When I was in seminary, we would have our chapel service at Boston University was on Wednesday at 11 a.m., and no classes or study groups or anything else could be scheduled at that time. It was expected that everyone would go. It was our church. And I think I can probably count on one hand, excepting times I was very ill or for some reason just not even in the city of Boston. I can probably count very quickly the number of times in 3 years I missed that chapel service. And then immediately following that, we all came back just across the little open area between the chapel and the School of Theology, and we went downstairs into the large rooms in the basement, and we had what we called, interestingly enough, community lunch, which was the lunch of the seminary community and anyone else who happened to be around. And we shared a meal together. And it was as much a part of what was scheduled for that day and what we were expected to attend. It was as much a part of the worship service that we had just participated in as the sermon or the singing or anything else. It was part of who we were as that church community. And I visited a church in Cambridge that I couldn't attend because we lived too far away from it, but they meet not in the morning on Sundays, but Sunday nights at 5 o'clock. And then as soon as the worship service is over, they meet amid these smells, these wonderful aromas, because in the next room are all the crock pots and the covered dishes. And every Sunday, right after church, they have a dinner together, a potluck dinner together. And it flows right in, just right from church, right into the meal that is shared. And once I even tried to start a church, it really was mostly just a small group for myself and two of my friends, but it was church to us. And we didn't even separate. We gathered at each other's houses, and we took turns making the meal, and we would share a meal together, and then we would share prayers, and we would read from the Bible, usually from the book of Acts, about what it meant to be church, and we would lift prayer, and we would break bread again in communion. And it was all part of one big gathering together, the meal, the prayer, the worship, the songs. We didn't sing a whole lot because none of us were really, really strong singers, but we hummed quite a bit. And the worship that we did together included eating. It was a spiritual thing. Well, we've been talking about what it means to go back to the beginning, to look at the early church, and we hear as we go back and we kind of reset, rethink what it means to be church and reboot by going back to the beginning and looking at the first church. We hear again, we've been talking about this passage from Acts. All the believers lived in a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources so that each person's need was met. And we talked about that 2 weeks ago. Then last week, they followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple. And we discussed that a little bit. Followed by meals at home, every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praised God. People in general liked what they saw. Daily worship in the temple, followed by meals at home, every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praised God. Every meal that they took, daily, together, a celebration, a praise to God, exuberant and joyful. We know how sacred a moment a meal can be. Some are more focused than others. You know, every time we gather with our family and share a meal, it's a wonderful celebration of family. But on Thanksgiving, we focus perhaps a little bit more intentionally on that, right? And so there are some meals that we know that are given even more sacred moment to them. And so Jesus actually shares many meals with his disciples, with his followers, with his community. We hear about all kinds of different meals. And each of these is not just an opportunity to share a meal together, but is an opportunity for a sacred moment. And so Jesus highlights in some way or describes or reveals in some way the presence of God at the meals we read about in the Gospels. You know, so he's at a wedding reception in Cana, you know, there's a celebration. And it's also a moment where perhaps a little bit of the mystery and the magnificence of God is revealed in a miracle that involves the wine. And, you know, he's eating and dining with some folks and sharing a meal with them when some people question, you know, who gets to eat with you and who's invited and who's not. And so he takes an opportunity to explain how all are invited to the table and how he has come to dine with those who the rest of society might have cast aside. He describes the kingdom of God, the vision of what God's realm is like at one point as a meal. A banquet celebration, and that it is our task to go out into the streets and invite everyone in. Anyone and everyone who will come to the banquet is invited to come to share in the feast with celebrate God's presence. And we know that he gave a feast on a hillside to a multitude of people. And yes, there was a moment when, you know, there was not enough food to go around, and then miraculously there was, but more than revealing perhaps some sort of trick or magnificent sign or wonder, it was a moment to say, in this sharing, in this giving is God's abundance, is God's presence, and it is broken and scattered to all so that everyone has enough. Even after his death and resurrection, Jesus still comes back and eats with his disciples. He shares bread with those two folks we heard about in the town of Emmaus, and they don't know who he is. They haven't recognized him, but in the moment that he takes that bread and in his familiar gesture gives thanks and blesses it and breaks it and gives it to them, they see that it is indeed him. It is indeed the risen Christ. And again, there's a story about him on the side of the lake, on the shores of the lake, and his disciples after his death and resurrection have gone back to doing what they do, and they're fishing, and they're not 100% sure who he might be. They're not 100% sure if he's in the flesh or if he's some sort of ghost or vision. And so he tells them where to cast their nets, and as they come in from their haul of fish, they cook the fish on the beach and they eat together again and they know that it is him and that he is with them. But of course, we're most familiar with his last supper, even though it wasn't really his last, with his last supper with his disciples in the course of his human life, perhaps we might say, when he is already piggybacking on top of what is already a very sacred meal. It is the Seder meal at Passover. It is the moment when the people of Israel remember that they are God's children, that God called them, that God chose them, that God delivered them, and that when they share this meal together, they give thanks that the sins of the past have been taken care of. They give thanks that through this meal and through this remembrance of what has gone before, they remember how the people of Israel were delivered from slavery, were delivered from oppression, were delivered from Egypt and into a land of their own. And so Jesus sits at this meal, reclines at this meal with his disciples, already a sacred moment, and he adds another layer to it, a layer with which we're very familiar. From the words in the Gospels, from the words in Paul's letters, he takes the elements that they were eating as part of their Passover meal and gives them a new meaning, a new life, and says, this bread is my body, And every time you eat it to remember me. This wine that we celebrate over, this cup over which we give thanks, is my blood, and it is a new covenant. It is the seal of a new covenant, not the covenant that God had with just the people of Israel, delivering them from Egypt, making of them a great nation, but a covenant with the world. This is a new agreement between God and all people. This is my blood shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. And do this every time you drink it to remember me. Now, I love communion. Of all the parts of being a pastor, of all the parts of being a Christian, it is the one place that has always spoken to me the most. It is such a tingly, goosebumply moment for me to share, to receive, to give, to celebrate communion. And World Communion Sunday for me is this wonderful moment to remember that when we break bread and we give thanks over a cup, we are united with one another in this room. But we're also united with all Christians everywhere who celebrate this meal in whatever way they celebrate it, in whatever place they celebrate it, whether it's a huge congregation or a small gathering of people, whether they are brand new to their faith or they are the wise ones who've been passing it on for generations and generations, whether they are in a place where it's taken for granted that one can come and worship, or whether they risk their lives by gathering together, whether we're talking about people today on this World Communion Sunday, or all those throughout history for 2,000 years who have practiced this same meal, that we are united with them, and that together we are drawn into God's presence, into Christ's presence, because it is his table where we share. But as much as I love communion, and as moved as I am by what World Communion Sunday represents, I want to suggest that it is not only in the sacrament, not only in the celebration of the Lord's Supper, that Christ is present to us. That would be silly. That would be limiting. That every meal we share is a celebration. Christ was not only made known to his disciples, only present to them in that Last Supper. And I don't believe that when he said, "Take and eat this bread, drink from this cup, and when you do these things, do them to remember me," that he meant only when we lay a beautiful altar and say specific words of institution and lift a specific loaf of bread and share a cup, that that's the only time that we're in God's presence. No, Jesus also said, "Every time two or three of you are gathered, I am present with you." And the early church, I don't know that they had gotten into the routine of celebrating communion every day or every week, or that they had really formalized it as a celebration of the Lord's Supper. But they shared every meal together with celebration, with thanksgiving, as they praised God with joy and exuberance, because God was present to them when they gathered. God was present to them in the shared meal. And when they gave thanks, blessed bread, broke it, shared together, Christ was known to them in the breaking of the bread. At the Lord's table, yes, but at their own tables too. Now, I've come through two of my three church chicken suppers in 3 weeks. We've got one last one coming up. And I've got to say, I think that in many ways, we as church, we're at our best when we're doing something like having a supper, or a lunch, or when we're gathered together for a meal. Even when we do our potluck breakfasts on the fifth Sunday of the month, when we have one, that's another opportunity where we're at our best, because everybody has something to do, and everybody has something they can give, and everybody has something they can receive. Paul has very, very harsh words for the church in Corinth, because when they come together for a meal, some people are eating first and other people are going hungry and folks are hogging all the wine and getting drunk and other people are still thirsty. And he says, that's not what it means to be a church. I can't lift that up. Here's how you do it. Here's how you do it. You make sure that Christ is known in the breaking of the bread. When we gather together, be it a chicken pie supper or a potluck breakfast or a community lunch, everyone eats their fill. Everyone knows they are welcome at that table. And we were discussing earlier this morning in Plainfield that when we open the doors of the church for a meal like this, theirs was a chicken barbecue, ours is a chicken pie, but it's all chicken, it's all a community meal, it's all open to the public. We're all united in our sharing in a chicken meal. And when we do that we often say, we say grace before that. And that, for a lot of folks who are attending that are, they're paying their $10 for the dinner, and that may be one of the only times that grace is said over a meal for them. We figure, they know they're in a church. They take it for what it is, and that's fine. But in that moment, we claim that this is not just, come eat and be full, but this is come eat, be filled, and be in the presence of God. Whatever that means to you, you don't have to be part of our church to be excited about that or to be touched by that. But this meal, in a way, is a blessing, is a sacred moment. It's not a sacrament, but it is a sacred moment. It is sharing a meal and saying that here together we are one. We're one in that room. When we're all eating chicken pie or chicken barbecue, we are one in that room. We're all celebrating together. And when we take a moment and say, and we are connected to all of God's people, which are all people. We're connected in this moment. We are connected to the one who feeds us in our bodies, who feeds us in our spirits. Every meal we take has the opportunity to be a celebration. Every meal in which we share, every table that we sit at can be the table of the Lord. Because we claim that moment and say, Christ is present with us when we gather. When we gather in our homes, when we gather with one another, when we share a potluck, when we offer a chicken pie supper to the community, when we give a community lunch to those who are hungry and to those who are hungry for fellowship. We are celebrating the presence of God with us, with the world. Today we celebrate a special moment, a special way in which this table, this moment, this meal is a celebration of the presence of Christ in the bread, in the juice, in us as we go forth. And then we go from this table of the Lord home to our tables, out into the community filled with tables, and those are Christ's tables too. When we gather each other, when we invite each other in, when we give thanks to God, every meal is a celebration of what God has done for us. Amen.